I am a man of secrets.
Section 31 is very meticulous in covering its tracks.
The recall is a useful attribute for an operative.
Section 31 isn't part of Starfleet intelligence.
Welcome to Section 31, gentlemen.
The phrase, never say die, it's since passed into the vernacular as an exhortation never to give up, no matter the cost.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 21. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we'll be talking about a little bit of what happened at Dragon Con. Although not gamer related, we're talking about a draft format that our producer Matt came up with, and a little bit about the Highlander tournament we had last weekend. You were at Dragon Con last weekend.
I was. It was a grand old time, let me tell you. I did not participate a great deal in the gaming scene. I had a particularly difficult time trying to locate the gaming scene last year at Dragon Con. And when I went to stop by and see what was going on and see where it was, it had moved. I did not participate in the Chairman's Challenge.
Yeah, it was Ferengi Dex only. And the first place was that promo Dr. Erador.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I as much as I would love to have participated in the super de duper Ferengi challenge, I am no Franklin Genter, and I don't think I could have stood up to a house full of Ferengi playing, except for throwing in a handful of one-upsmanships. So much as that, as fun as that would have been, I was not able to locate any of the gaming going on because there was so much else happening. It's crazy. I tell you, that thing gets bigger every year.
Primarily, though, you were there for the costuming, right?
Yes. The costuming is astounding. Forget anything you've seen at Gen Con or even Comic-Con. The costumes at Dragon Con, and I'll give you a link to my pictures, just my pictures I took at Dragon Con. We can put it in the show notes. The variety and unique level of detail that people put into their costumes, just things that are so obscure or niche or just outrageously cool that people have come up with, are just incredible. Everything from superheroes to Star Wars, Star Trek, really well done.
Did you partake in any of the contests?
Oddly enough, we did not do any of the major costume contests, which is bizarre because contrary to Comic-Con, where they have very qualified costuming professionals coming in to judge the workmanship, the Dragon Con Masquerade is judged by random celebrities who have no idea how to make costumes. And so it's kind of developed a really bad reputation as, being a masquerade where people who work hard in their costumes don't win. I did end up going to the Big Trek panel in the main hall, which was Avery Brooks and Michael Dorn and Cirroc Lofton, which was pretty awesome. Avery is every bit as cool as you might think he would be. And Michael Dorn by now is an old hand at this. It's kind of weird not really thinking about it, but he's been playing Worf for 20 years now.
Did you add anything to the signature collection?
I did, in fact. I now have a pair of captains for my Defiant deck with a Defiant Captain Sisko and a Defiant Commander Worf. Nice. Also picked up a mirror Malcolm Reed signature while I was there. He was a really cool guy.
My box of sleeves came in from Universal Cards. I'm very excited.
Your box of sleeves, would you get? Did you get those magic sleeves?
No, that's just obnoxious. No, my sleeves that I've been using for the last 6 years or so, finally, they were actually donated to the big draft pool that we'll talk about in a bit, and I replaced them with a case for like $30.
Nice.
So could I'll be using the special
colors?
No, it's a lighter blue. It's sparkly. It'll give everyone seizures, I'm sure. I need every advantage awesome I can get.
Yeah, I'm going to need that too. I'm falling behind. Been a busy summer.
Well, you got the since we instigated that new rule of the player who's not first, second, or third, who has the highest spatial rift point average gets a prize. So if you do well and only come to a few events.
That's true. Well, but then I have to do well. I won last year only by sheer bulk of effort. I don't know about that actual doing well thing. It doesn't come naturally to me. But I will make the college try.
Well, while you were gone, we had a Highlander tournament, which we're keen to do every once in a while here. Last year, Johnny came in with his Borg deck and swept away everyone. And oddly enough, he played pretty much the same deck this year. He had cleaned up his dilemma pile a little bit, so it wasn't nearly 100 cards anymore. So I ended up making two decks this year, one for myself and one for Franklin, as you mentioned earlier, who likes to come out to the tournaments, but doesn't often make his own decks. So I made him three headquarters, two mission win deck, which I thought he would appreciate playing. Of the new set, I used Lore, Brother and Son, and Kira Nerys, Defiant Leader. My three headquarters were, his three headquarters were Bajor, Earth, and Earth, TNG, and Mouth of the Wormhole. And I just put in everyone who had cunning of 8, 9, or 10. And it was awesome.
Good grief.
Yeah. So, you know, he was he could solve Hunt for DNA program with, like, you know, five people. It was awesome. Unfortunately, he didn't have nearly as good of time as I did, because I copied Johnny's deck from last year. And since I kind of ran out of time, I added a few new cards. The new virtual guy, the specialty drone who gives all the other personnel present he's attempting a mission with who are unique attributes plus one. That was quite helpful. It turned out on the day Thomas Weinberg got away with the win. He was playing Earth DS9 with the jackpack and some mutants, oddly enough, which was funny because that's a lot of people that I put into Franklin's deck, the high cunning deck. So it was kind of almost a mirror match, except that he didn't have the problem of having three headquarters and being smacked around by a lot of nasty dilemmas.
Did anybody run into one of those major realizations, as I always seem to, where you get to something in your deck and it's like, wow, this is an awesome card. I know why I instinctively threw it in, but it's not a card that I should be playing with in Highlander.
No, I found a few of those while I was making my deck. Multidimensional transport device, not a good idea in Highlander.
Right.
Mental discipline, not a good card in Highlander.
No, not really.
Matt had Broca in his deck. Pitch a card to download a copy of an event you have in hand. Didn't actually get to use that during the game.
Oh, yeah. Not so much.
No.
The Cardassian guy, right. Yeah, I'm guessing nobody wanted to play with anything like the Talnaught.
Accepting the past. Not very good in Highlander.
Right. One of the Mira Kiras, doesn't she discard a card to download a copy of that card?
Yes. Thought Maker, not a good card in Highlander with your dilemma pile.
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't play the Infestation dilemma pile. Not very
good. I was just going to say that. Tribbles.
Adapt, not very good in Highlander.
Not so much going to face a dilemma that you've already faced.
No, and to go with that, the new drone.
Also, you know, the Adapt drone, yeah.
Yeah, the Adapt drone, yeah. Almost put him in. No, not so much. We had a letter from a listener who won our prize for the random pick. And I've put it in a folder, so I have no idea where it is.
What did he have to say? Or she?
Brian Hamilton wrote in, thanking us for the podcast. He wrote, he actually corresponded a bit. He was a 1E collector. Since the beginning, and he caught on to our podcast, just stumbled upon it, and has been listening to us ever since. Thank you, Brian. He's in the UK, actually. I had asked him about what a collector you know, as a collector, what he thinks about virtual cards. And he wrote back that he thought they were pretty cool. It means you don't have to have hundreds of doubles after buying booster packs. Pretty smart. The one thing he says he misses, though, is actually opening the packs, ripping them open, and, you know, wondering if you got a new card. Not quite as satisfying as just you know, cutting them out of the sheet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Brian. I do miss the smell of new cards and that crinkling sound of ripping open a new pack. I think that might be at least half of the reason I actually started playing another printed collectible card game, just so I could feed that addiction. And, you know, yeah. I like the game too. I just have to get, you know, Dan addicted to it.
So, Brian, we'll be sending you a Jean-Luc Picard Explorer, the foil, 0P73. That's not backwards compatible, but you know what? Who knows? Maybe we can start you off collecting 2E cards. If you want to win one of these Picard foils, all you have to do is send us an email to section31@danhamman.com. That's DANHAMMAN.com.
We will use our patented random selection device, also known as a D20, to choose those from amongst our illustrious listeners. So shoot us a message. I hear you had some sort of draft event while I was gone.
Well, I wouldn't call it an event. We had a barbecue and a couple people over to try this format based on something called a cube draft from the Star Wars CCG. And what the premise is you take a bunch of the transwarp decks that were made for getting new players into the game, and you pool them all in a pile and add a bunch of other cards to this pool, some rares, some, you know, power cards. And then you divvy it all up again in this predefined semi-random state, so that you make a bunch of 9-card piles, and each of those is like a pack. And each player gets 5 of these little piles that you don't look at. So it's like you flip them over, and it's like opening a pack. And you take one card and you pass it to the left, and you draft. And then after all the cards are gone, you open, you know, quote unquote, the next pile. And you look through, and you take a card, and you pass to the right, and et cetera, until you've made a little draft deck. And with the way that the packs are set up, you're guaranteed to get at least a mission. You start out with a pile of missions, actually, from the transwarp deck. You set a few things aside. And it was actually a lot of fun. I was surprised. The pool was a little bit limited because, you know, we made it. But it was still random enough. It was a lot of fun. It was very quick. We played 45-minute rounds, and I don't think any of the games went to time. So we were able to draft, play 3 rounds, and then put all the cards back together, form a new pool, draft again, and play another 3 rounds in an afternoon. It was awesome.
Now, I know in previous draft or sealed events, we have noticed a distinct skewing of affiliations. Did you guys notice any particular leanings one way or the other for DS9 or Terraknor?
Oddly enough, after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. After 12 games, it was exactly 6-6 DS9 versus Terraknor. It was
no way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, small sample size, but yeah, it's very even. I kind of felt like DS9 had a little bit of an advantage, because they had a lot of really cunning people, but you know, the Terraknor people were going for strength, and so they had the big strength advantage. It was remarkably fair. I don't think there was a big advantage having one affiliation over the other. The one skewing that we found was in the pool that we used in this first try. The personnel were a lot higher on the power scale than the dilemmas were, so there was a lot of, that's probably why the games were so quick. It was hard to stop people more than once or twice.
Oh, cool. It sounds like an interesting new alternative to draft events.
Yeah, and the best part is that it's actually kind of reusable, because you draft the cards, and when you're done, you just throw them back in the pool, and we'll play it again next time. So you don't have to worry about scrounging for packs at cons or boxes, or, you know, as time goes on and the boxes get harder and harder to find.
And really, at this point, I think the last several draft events we've had, like actual opening packs drafts events, we've gotten to the end of it and go, does anybody want these? You know, trying to pawn them off on each other because nobody, you know, even the rares at some point, you know, you just, okay, I could throw a third or fourth or fifth copy of this into my trade binder or if anybody here needs it, but, you know, we've all got them all now. That's good. You know, we don't have to buy new packs to keep wasting them like that and we can reuse the cards.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a bother to set it up in the first place. I think Matt and I spent about, you know, casually an hour here, an hour there over the weekend. It was a 3-day weekend. But once we got it together, like I said, it was really fast to set up the pool. It was really fast to rebuild after we were done. I'm thinking about having it be one of the formats that we do later on in the season, just because I had so much fun with it.
All right. Well, that's just about the limit of our intelligence for this week. We do have one last transmission coming in. I believe the next playtest set, codename Lebowski, is being sent out to playtesters as we speak.
Some good bowling dilemmas.
Bowling?
Have you seen the movie?
At any rate, we have that to look forward to. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And on behalf of our producer, Matt, we shout out our thanks once again to Warp 11. And I'll remind all of you out there to expand your power in the universe.
And I've got 3 Atwa costs for a very simple draw 21 to end.
A lot of women apparently also choose to take this opportunity to make slutty versions of assorted costumes. So, you know, if that's your thing, I have no problem appreciating it. That was probably a bad note to end on. Section 31.